another episode of Radio Yesterday, brought to you by ChuckChat.com.
Information, please. Wake up, Mr. and Mrs. America. Time to stump the expert. Why not join the rest of the great American public that is doing its best to rattle the brains of our mental giants? Here's how to get into this question and answer game. Send us questions and the correct answers. If acceptable to our editors, they will be presented to a board of experts for the first time during each broadcast. Any question accepted will win $2 for the person who submits it. Any question the experts cannot answer will win an extra $5. The contest will be refereed by our master of ceremonies, Mr. George S. Kaufman, noted playwright, author of many Broadway successes. Mr. Kaufman.
Good evening. I'd like to say first that I feel just as bad as you possibly can about the absence of Mr. Clifton Fadiman this evening. Your consolation is, however, that he'll be back on the program next Tuesday in, I'm sure, his customary amusing form. Meanwhile, this evening, I will do the best I can, which is probably what you're afraid of. And now I'd like to introduce the four experts who will try to answer your questions. Three of them already well known to you through previous appearances. In the first cage, Mr. Franklin P. Adams, columnist to the New York Evening Post. Mr. Adams is happily returning to the program tonight after an illness of several weeks. I say happily, but looking at him, I should think that if you put a finger anywhere near him, you'd lose it. Bark for the ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Adams.
Wolf, wolf.
Thank you.
And I'm not allowed to speak above a whisper.
I see. And now, second, distinguished literary figure who acquitted himself more than honorably on this program a few weeks ago, Mr. Quincy Howe. Mr. Howe is an expert on international politics. He's the author of that well-known book, so well-known that I need hardly even mention its title. Well, you can get it at any bookstore. Just ask for it by name. And now, Mr. John Kieran, the old wheel horse of the program. Mr. Kieran, as you know, is sporting editor of the New York Times. And, yes, you are, Mr. Kieran. Don't pretend to be surprised. And in his spare moments, I understand, author of the Encyclopedia Britannica. I believe he had a little bit of help with the Z's. Now, as our guest of honor, making his first appearance in this program, I'd like to introduce the well-known figure from the theater, Moss Hart. Mr. Hart is a playwright, and if he won't mind my saying so in public, a darn good one. Of course, what he is doing here, masquerading as an expert on anything, that I don't know. Mr. Hart, to my certain knowledge, spent 5 years in school, all in the same class. His explanation of that, I leave to you to judge. He says the teacher was in love with him. I don't know. Now, you know how this program goes. The experts have not seen these questions in advance. The questions are addressed to the entire board. Any member who wishes to may raise his hand, take a whack at the answer. It must be answered by one person, except where it's composed of more than two parts. In that case, the board may cooperate, consult, anything they please. If any part is answered incorrectly, that is, a larger part of the question than is stipulated, $5 is forfeited. When you hear that cash register sound, all right, that means that $5 is being paid out to the author of that question. And now enough dilly-dallying, and sooner or later you boys have to face this. The first question, which comes from Alfred Good, He lives in Chicago. They'll know where. Answer the following questions based upon stanzas of well-known ballads. These are a trifle long. You have to listen carefully. They say that the stranger was crazed with hooch, and I'm not denying it's so. I'm not wise as the lawyer guys, but strictly between us two, the woman that kissed him and pinched his poke was... Who was the lady, Mr. Kieran?
The lady was known as Lou.
The lady known as Lou is right. Second, there are three of these. This one would be very easy, I should think, for Mr. Kieran. And now the leather-covered sphere came whirling through the air, and Casey stood a-watching it in haughty grandeur there.
I know that.
This one was studied in the first grade at school, apparently. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped. That ain't my style, said Casey. And what did the umpire say?
Strike one, the umpire said.
Is right. Third question, and this one, I warn you, is a little tougher. Over the cobbles, he clatters and clangs in the dark inn yard. He taps with his whip on the shutters, but all is locked and barred. He whistles a tune to the window, and who should be waiting there? Who was waiting? Mr. Kieran?
But Bess, the landlord's daughter, was something about dark hair.
Correct. Only...
How'd you know that?
It was not her hair that was dark, it was her eyes.
Well, I know it's the one that begins the...
The Highwayman by Alfred Noyes. You've answered the question correctly. The second question from John S. Thompson, 196 Clinton Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. This has to do with automobiles. It names seven articles and asks you to identify six of them. That is to say, what type of automobile do six of the following bring to mind? Maybe if you do it correctly, name the car, they'll send you one of them. I don't know. First, a river. What automobile does that bring to mind? Anyone know? Mr. Adams.
DeSoto.
DeSoto River.
Yes, I would have to allow that. Second, a rock.
Plymouth.
Right.
Oh, that's bomb.
Third, a city. What city? A car, Mr. Adams.
Cadillac.
Right. A president.
Lincoln.
Right. An explorer.
LaSalle?
Well, I think we can. A dog.
Whip it.
Correct. You've answered six of the seven, but this is the seventh one, a cracker.
Graham.
Correct. This question from Dorothy G. Bennett, 2304 First Street, Washington. Name the authors of four of the following quotations. There are five in all. It was Greek to me. Anyone know? It was Greek to me.
Shakespeare.
Correct, but I wonder who's the guest. However, it's right. Give the devil his due. Give the devil his due. Somebody must have written it. These things don't just spring up.
Did we write that?
I don't think so. I should say he was a little better known.
Shakespeare.
Correct. You know, Shakespeare is wonderful on these quizzes. Shakespeare and Patrick Henry used to get together and write just about everything. Third, within a stone's throw. This one is a little tougher. Shakespeare won't do for this. I'll tip you off in advance.
The Bible.
Patrick Henry.
No. No, I'm afraid you've missed on that one. You made two. One was a definite answer, I think, Mr. Adams. Fourth, Love is Blind. Love is blind. It's a very simple little quotation. Three words, and it was not... I don't think I should say... Start to name who it's not, or you'd get it. If I named everyone that didn't write it, that would... Love is blind. I wonder if someone is going to get $5. You miss up on this one. Miss Dorothy G. Bennett, somewhere on the air, is waiting. Got that money pretty well spent. I think you miss on that one. Would be a guess, $5 to Miss Dorothy G. Bennett. And the answer you will be humiliated to know, Shakespeare. Mr. Hart, I think a special question for you. I was trying to get some that I thought would fit your scholastic attainments, such as what year was the War of 1812? Could you answer that?
1865.
That's very close, 65. And who was president during Woodrow Wilson's administration?
Colonel House.
Well, maybe he was. Miss Helen Johnson of Birmingham, Alabama, also has a question for you. Name four plays or movies, and I'll address this first to Mr. Hart, in which one of the main characters is a charming and incurable liar. Four plays or movies in which one of the characters is a charming liar. Now, you ought to know a little about liars. Mr. Adams, can you prompt with one?
Lightman.
Lightman is correct. Mr. Hart.
Susan and God.
Yes, with a slight stretch of the imagination, she was. Two. Karen?
Any play that Bill Fields was in.
I'd have to give you right on that, I think. That's three. It only takes one more, and there's quite a number here. You mustn't miss on this. Because you've come too close
William
to it.
William Collier was the star in it.
Nothing but the truth.
That's it.
Yes, it was really the reverse of lying, but I believe early in the play he was quite a liar, so it's answered correctly. This question is from John Ball, 1731 East Washington. East Washington what? I don't know. Newcastle, PA. Oh, this is a little dandy. A man was sued for divorce on the grounds that he was a librocubicularist.
A what?
A librocubicularist. Will you explain the nature of this charge? The word is spelled, I think I'd have to go in this a little bit. L-I-B-R-U, which may start to give a hint. C-U-B-I-C-U-L-A-R-I-S-T. I think it's fair to say that it was a created word. I don't think...
Sounds
you agree
was,
with that?
Charged with being a bookworm.
I think that you've answered it correctly. It's close enough, I believe. Christopher Morley created the character Roger Mifflin, who was accused of being a librocubicularist. I learned to say that in Providence. And he was in the habit of reading in bed. That is precisely the definition. But I think that the other one covers it, seems to me. This is from Mrs. Ray Norden Sauder, 6534 Cherokee Street, Philadelphia. Name five novels whose titles refer to blood relationships. That should not be difficult. Five, just think of your relatives.
The Daughter by Bessie Brewer.
Correct.
Sons by Pearl Buck.
Correct. Think of your relatives. Don't say what you're
Fathers
thinking.
Fathers just... and Sons by Turgenev.
The Brothers Karamazov.
That's four of them.
Sister Carrie.
Very good. We have combined now questions submitted by two people because both of them relate to the Great War. Questions submitted by Albert Pasmani of East Cleveland, Ohio, Fred Green of Richmond Hill, New York. But those boys never thought they were going to collaborate on anything. Name one of the two surviving rulers whose countries were engaged in the World War. There are three parts to this question. One of the two surviving rulers whose countries were engaged in the World War. They were the King rulers of the countries then. Yes, Mr. Howe?
King Victor Emmanuel II of Italy.
Right.
And the former Kaiser of Germany.
Yes, it does not say that they should still be the governing powers of their countries, so you're correct. Second, name any surviving members of the Big Four at the Versailles Conference in 1919.
Lloyd George.
Right. Name the only surviving high commanding general of the Allied staff, of which Marshal Foch was a supreme commander. The only surviving high commanding general of the Allied staff, of which Foch was a supreme commander. Now, you've
general?
Already... You've answered this question. This isn't just extra. You've named
General Pershing.
Correct. Those boys do not get fired. This is from Edward Hirschfield, 164 West 79th Street, New York. Identify the following well-known actresses. There are four of them. I think you have to get them all on this one. What actress, bold with tousled hair, kept insisting, I don't care?
Eva Tangler.
Correct. Second, or whom did press and public rave? She couldn't make her eyes behave.
Anna Hill.
Right. The third one's harder. Her quirk, though she's cute, believe me, she's no child.
Edna Walloy.
He's no child. I don't think Edna Wallace Hopper can be admitted.
Baby Fanny Snook. Ward.
Correct.
Baby Snook.
Mr. Hart is right. Fanny Bryce's Baby Snook. Fourth.
Marie Dressler.
Right. Answered correctly, all four. And so far, we've asked, I believe, eight questions, and only one of them has been missed. A total of $5 has been paid out. Keep up the good work, because everybody needs the money. Here at the studio, I mean. This is from Jonathan Rush, New Mexico, and I have a little word for the listeners in on this one. Now is the time to sell your radios, because the Board of Experts is going to sing.
What?
If you can convert them into ice boxes or anything, I'm going to read, in some case three, in some case two lines of a popular song, or a song that once was popular. See if you can supply the final line. But just to speak the final line is not enough. It must be sung. You may all join in answering this. Because if those four voices could come booming out at once, it might end radio. I don't know. Here's the first one. You can consult a little. You can give the tune, give the pitch to one of the others. You fooled me from the start, and though you're not true, may God bless you.
That's the curse of an aching heart.
Well, it's pretty good, although that musical comedy appearance will be delayed for a few days. Second, for youth cannot mate with age, and her beauty was sold for an old man's gold.
She's a bird in a gilded cage.
I think
this doesn't have to be a quartet, does it?
I think a singing rehearsal is indicated a little after the performance. Third, stand back, villain, go your way. Here I will no longer stay. Although you were a marquis or an earl, you may tempt the upper classes with your villainous demi-tasses.
But all heaven together will protect the working girl.
Very good, because I think you not only answered the question, but composed three new melodies in the course of doing it. This is from Winifred Branley, 1012 North Roxbury Drive, Beverly Hills, California.
What? No more singing?
Out there. The phone calls haven't started to come in. I don't know. There are five parts to this. Some of them look a little tough to me. You have to get four of them right. That means that you can consult on this. Name the plays or movies in which four of the following five objects played important parts. First, a roll-top desk. In what play or movie was a roll-top desk highly important? A roll-top desk. You want to pass it for a second and go on to another one? I'll come back to a roll-top desk. Although I warn you, they don't get easier. They get a little tougher. Second, an apple barrel. An apple barrel. I think Winifred Branley is going to have a new hat. Yes, Mr. Kieran?
Treasure Island.
Very good.
I didn't see the picture. I read the book.
Well, that is not the modern method. Third? Third, Monkey Wrench, remember, play or movie? In what did a monkey wrench play an important part? If you want to go back to roll top desk, why, I'm your Huckleberry. Don't think I've forgotten about roll top desk. I'm coming back again.
What else do you have in stock over there?
You're going to be sorry you asked that, because number four, a tooth of garlic. A tooth of garlic. You probably never knew they came in teeth before. But a tooth of garlic, unless it's a misprint, is what it says here. A tooth of garlic. Looks like good news for Miss Branley of Beverly Hills, California. And fifth, pants. Yes, plain pants. They played an important part in lots of plays and pictures.
In the freshman, Harold Lloyd's picture, pants.
I don't go back that far, but I'd say that you're correct. Only two were answered, and I'll give you the answers. An apple barrel, correct. The roll-top desk was in the front page, which you really should have known. A monkey wrench in Chaplin's Modern Times. A tooth of garlic is in Dracula, and Miss Branley gets $5. This question from Mrs. John Slater, 213 Lynn Street, Ithaca, New York. Give three well-known quotations relating to the cup that cheers. It specifies as that is any liquor of more than 3.2. 3.2 is an old phrase that I can't remember anymore, glad to say. Three well-known quotations relating to the cup that cheers. Now, the cup that cheers must have been celebrated in song, in quotation, in poem. Yes, Mr. Howe.
The vine that can with logic absolute the 24 quarreling sects refute, etc., from the Rubaiyat.
Very good, Mr. Howe. Anybody else got ones to Karen?
Yes, from the same Rubaiyat. Come, fill the cup and in the fire of spring and so forth.
All we have to do, apparently, is quote the Rubaiyat. Yes, Mr. Hart.
Drink to me only with thine eyes is no good. I know, I just said that.
Just saying, drink.
A little wine for thy stomach's sake.
Well, then we have to have wine analyzed and find out if it's 3.2 or over. Mr. Kieran?
For a goblet full of the warm south, full of the true, the blushful hippocrene, with beaded bubbles, winking at the brim. That's from Keith.
Very good. this question from Harry Feldman, 10 Saratoga Avenue, Brooklyn. Identify four of the five following. First, a newspaper columnist who has written boys' books. That wouldn't be you, Mr. Adams, I take it. Yes.
U. Johnson.
Correct. Second, a Civil War general who wrote novels.
Lew Wallace.
Right. Third, an American philosopher who has written a best-selling novel.
George Santayana.
Correct. Fourth, an American president who became a columnist.
Calvin Coolidge.
So he did. That is four of the five, but the last one being particularly interesting, I'd like to go ahead and ask it anyhow. A president of the United States who was a football coach. Yes, Mr. Kieran.
Woodrow Wilson.
So he was. Do you happen to know when and where?
Well, I don't think it was at Princeton. It was
No, it wasn't. It was at Wesleyan in 1889. Very good. Answered all five. This question from Charles Goldberg, 14 Fifth Avenue, New York. And you must get three of the four. This involves a little bit of music that you'll be glad to know, and others will be glad to know, that you boys do not have to sing. They'll be played on the piano. And you are to identify the plays, name the plays in which these songs were sung. Someday I'll find you. Yes, Mr. Hart.
Private Lives.
Correct. Second, Madrigal in May. That one's a little tougher.
Before my time, then.
Before my time. That covers a great many plays, but I'll pass on to the third one, but think over Madrigal in May meanwhile. The third one, Chinese Lullaby. Yes, Mr. Hart.
East is west.
East is west is right. Now, if you can get one of the two remaining ones, either Madrigal in May or the one that's now going to be played, which is No More at Evening. Very tough to get 3 out of 5. Madrigal in May, No More at Evening. Plenty of time. I'll ask whoever has the next hour on this station to give it up, and we can go right ahead. I'm afraid, though, that you're slipping on this one. Well, Charles Goldberg doesn't really deserve the whole $5, but he has to get it. Madrigal in May is from The Jest. No More at Evening is from Redemption.
Both before my time.
Both before your time. This from Don Doty, 2021 East 7th Street, Long Beach, California. California is right there. Give the meaning and origin of each of the following colloquial terms. Some of them look quite easy to me. There are 4 of them, and you have to get them all because they are not hard. First, Steve Brody. Yes, Mr. Kieran?
It means to take a chance.
Yes, but could you give a little more about the origin?
He was supposed to have jumped off the Brooklyn Bridge, but the real truth is that he jumped halfway and his brother jumped the other half.
Well, that is the theory, that he jumped off Brooklyn Bridge in, I believe, an attempt to get away from Brooklyn. The second one... The second one, Annie Oakley, should be right up your street. Mr. Kieran again.
Well, Annie Oakley is a pass to a ball game or a theater, and it's because there are holes in it, and Annie Oakley was supposed to, was a crack shot, and she used to shoot holes in these tickets for the Wild West show, I guess.
Correct. Third, the real McCoy.
Well, that's, that has to do with, that's a prize fight story. I don't know that it is the real McCoy itself, but the story is that a fellow was, taken on a fighter out west, and he was told that it was the real McCoy, and he didn't believe it, but he got knocked out.
Correct.
When he came to his...
Fourth, Calamity Jane.
Calamity Jane?
Calamity Jane.
Well, in sports, it means Bobby Jones's putter, and that was Calamity Jane to anybody who played against him.
Could you give just a little of the origin of it? You've come close
well,
enough,
Calamity,
I think, to consider
Calamity
the question
Calamity Jane was a character. I think it was in either a racehorse or a character in a racehorse play.
Well, you're getting fairly close. She was General Custer's aide.
I knew
and,
all of that, but I didn't
prophesied disaster. However, you were close enough. The question was answered. And now it's the total results... 3 questions, our time is about up, and 3 questions were not answered correctly, and a very good stab was made at one of those. Only $15 was to be paid out in all, and seems to me it's a very good record.
What do we get now?
I want to be the first to congratulate you.
Honorable mention.
You don't get
That's
a thing. I want to thank all the members of the board, all the folks that have submitted questions. Now Mr. Cross has a word for you about next week's contest. Good night, everybody, and come again.